Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
God is good.
And all the time.
Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen. Thank you, worship team. Like always, such an amazing time in the presence of the Lord. Amen. So we're still in our 21-day fasting and praying season. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, in the prayer room, as we were praying for you guys, that God, as even as you fast and you pray, that God would meet your every need. Amen. And you know, we were reminded in the book of, in the book of Daniel, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego made a choice to fast, and the word of God tells us that even after 21 days, they looked better than the Babylonians. Amen. So you're shining today. Amen. We can see the glory of the Lord upon your faces. Amen. Now you can smile. Don't be afraid to smile. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, last week I started speaking on Thanksgiving. Amen. And I encourage you that even as we fast and as we pray, it's not going to be only for this 21 days, but our encouragement as a church is that prayer, fasting, thanksgiving, praise, and worship will be your lifestyle. Amen. Not only would you do it within these 21 days and after that you will stop doing it. No. The Lord calls us to fast. The Lord calls us to pray. The Lord calls us to be thankful. We said thanksgiving is what? It's an expression of gratitude. Amen. And I believe many of you have shown gratitude to the Lord this week. You know, it's easy for us to be thankful when things are going well, but it's so difficult for us to express gratitude when things, when our circumstances around us don't seem to be going well. Amen. But the Lord is not only calling us to be thankful in good times and say glory to God when times are good, but when times are bad, we begin to say, where are you, God? No, we're to be grateful and we are to be thankful in the good times and in the bad times. Amen. Constantly be thankful. And we learned last week that the Lord calls us to constantly be thankful. Never stop being thankful. Your situation is bad, your situation is good. Don't stop. Be thankful. And we said that thanksgiving has the power in bringing forth the supernatural power of God. It has the power to change your environment. It has the power to change your circumstances. Amen? It has. And God is calling us as a church to be thankful. Not only for the big things in our lives, but even for the small miracles that God is constantly doing. Many times we look around and we want only to be thankful to the big things. But if we're honest with ourselves, God is always doing things in our lives. And if we can look around and even begin to point out the little things, even the fact that you're here today, even the fact that you have fuel in your car, even the fact that you did not have a puncture coming from your house to here. Amen. The fact that you're not even sick, you're healthy, you're breathing. There is always something to be thankful about. Amen. There is always. You can't say to me, Pastor, it's dark around me. There is nothing to be thankful. You're wrong. You're looking in the wrong place. If you look at God, God will show you something to be thankful about. Let us begin to express gratitude. Amen. Now we've gone past his gates. We studied from Psalm 100, verse 4. Amen. We said we enter his gates with what?
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. And his courts with praise. Now we've gone past the first 7 days. We've gone past his gates. Now we want to go past his what? His courts. We want to enter into his presence. How many want to go into his presence? Hallelujah. How many want more of the Lord? Yes. The Bible not only calls us to be thankful, he says to enter his gates with thanksgiving, but to go into his courts and to enter his presence, someone needs to praise the Lord. Someone needs to praise the Lord. Amen. If there is no praise, there is no access. The only way that we can approach the presence, the only way that we can access the presence of God is through praise. No praise, no access. You want access? You want more? You want to approach and enter into and experience the presence and experience the power of God? Then begin to praise God. It will change your prayer life. It will change your perspective about prayer. Prayer now in our prayer room, it's all about nagging and complaining. But the word of the Lord doesn't say that he inhabits the nagging and the complaining of his people. Did he say that? The word of the Lord tells us that he inhabits what? The praises of his people. And if we can come to that place where we are able to know the power that is behind thanksgiving, the power that is behind praise, the power that is behind worship, it will change our lives. It will change our prayer life. When we enter the prayer room, it's not about nagging and complaining. No, it's about showing gratitude. It's about praising him for his greatness, for his awesomeness, for he is mighty, he's all-powerful. Amen. We said last week that thanksgiving, we acknowledge his goodness. Amen. When we say God is good, or when someone stands here and shares a testimony, we said that we are expressing thanksgiving to God. Amen. With thanksgiving, we acknowledge and relate to his goodness. Amen. But with praise, we acknowledge and we relate to his greatness. God is great, and for that reason, because he is great, we are to praise him. Listen to Psalms 48, verse 1. It says, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our Lord, in the mountain of his holiness." Amen. Because he is great, we are to worship him. We are to praise him, Amen. And the word here is telling us that great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. In other words, our praise should be in line with his greatness. If God is great, then our praise should be great. Did you hear me? Because if you heard me, you'll be saying amen. Amen. If God is great, then our praise should be great. Maybe you're saying to yourself, Pastor, I don't remember the last time I praised and I praised God. All I do is nag and complain in my prayer room. But I pray that in this season, it will change the way you pray. Amen. When you enter, you begin to praise. You will turn your nagging and your complaining into praise. Come on, look to someone next to you and say to them, it's about time that you turn your nagging and your complaining into praise. Now say to them, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know the word hallelujah, the word hallelujah, hallel in Hebrew is translated to praise. Now many of you always say hallelujah, but maybe you don't know what hallelujah means. Hallelujah literally means praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. And the word Jah, hallelujah, the word Jah, not Jah Rastafari. Amen. The word Jah is a shortcut for what? For Jehovah. Amen. The meaning Jehovah is the name of the Lord. Amen. The eternal one. Jehovah means the eternal one. So when we say hallelujah, we're praising the eternal one. The one who has no beginning and he has no end. Amen. So it should change when you say praise the Lord. No, I'm not saying say hallelujah. I'm saying when you say praise the Lord. All right. Someone wants to praise the Lord today. Amen. It changes. It changes. And it's my heart that it will change the way you look at prayer. You know, prayer has become we've lost the value of prayer. The church has lost the value of prayer. Prayer has lost its power. Amen. Now we sit at the prayer at lunch. We say a minute prayer before we go to sleep. A minute prayer. Amen. We're no more. We've been disconnected from that intimacy with God. But if we can come back to that place of intimacy with God and we're connected to Him, it would change everything. Amen. It would change everything. And my encouragement to you, as we declared 2019 a year of divine expansion, where we're going to experience growth, where we're going to experience abundance, where we're going to experience enlargement, amen, that we in the church will seek God more and we will hunger for more of the Lord. Amen? Let's turn to Psalms 150. And I'm going to read from verse 1 down to verse 6. It says, praise the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His acts of power. Praise Him for His surpassing greatness. Praise Him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise Him with the harp and the lyre. Praise Him with the tambourines and dancing. Praise Him with the strings and pipe. Praise Him with the clash of cymbals. Praise Him with the resounding of cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Amen. Let everything that has breath, in Hebrews 13 verse 15, it says, through Jesus, therefore, let us, say to someone, let us. Let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise. The fruit of lips that openly profess His name. Continually, it means don't stop. It means all the time. Amen. Listen to Psalms 34 verse 1. It says, say with me, I. Now, you know the psalmist, we read yesterday, we spoke about a lot of verses from the Psalms. Amen. And we see the heart of the psalmist. The psalmist was gracious, was always thankful, was always full of praise, and was always full of worship. If you want to look for scriptures on thanksgiving, go to the Psalms. If you want to look for scriptures on praise and worship, go to the Psalms. In fact, Psalms means praise. Hallelujah. It means what? Praise. You know, the Psalms, the book of Psalms, I believe, maybe Pastor Hank will correct me, is the biggest book in the Bible. Am I right? All right. If Pastor Hank says yes, then I have the right to say it to all of you. Because we have some theologians here in our midst. Amen. I believe the book of Psalms is the biggest book in the Bible. 150 chapters. Now tell me God is not interested in praise if the biggest book in the Bible is 150 chapters. The book on praise is 150 chapters. It tells me the heart of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen to Psalms 34, verse 1. I think we already read this, but I'll read it again. It says, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. All the time. Always we are to praise God. Philippians 4, verse 4. And I read, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Amen. Now this is the letter of Paul to the Philippian church, encouraging them to rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in who? In the Lord. We are to praise in the Lord. He's telling the church, rejoice in the Lord. And I say to you again, don't forget to constantly keep praise on your lips and out of your mouth. And I'm saying it to you again, rejoice. Always, always rejoice. Amen? Hallelujah. Psalms 22, verse 3. And I'm going to read from the King James Version. So excuse my thou, O thou. King James Version. It says, but thou art holy. Amen? O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. We always say that God inhabits the praises of his people. Amen? When we're praying, we're holding hands, we say, God, come, we invite you, Holy Spirit, for you inhabit the praises of your people. So here, the psalmist is saying, great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountains. Sorry, I'm reading the wrong verse. Psalms 22, verse 3, it says, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Amen? The word inhabitus, or the word inhabit, in Hebrew, remember last week I gave you a lot of Hebrew and Greek, and I'm sure you guys think Pastor has been studying some, going to some theology class. I'm not. I'm just doing some research and trying to go in-depth in the word. The word inhabit in Hebrew is translated to mean sit on. Did you hear me? It's translated to mean what? So what the word here is saying, that thou, O Lord, art holy, O thou that sits on the praises of Israel. So it tells me, and other translations said he's, and other translations say he's enthroned upon our praises. He's enthroned upon what? Our praises. So it tells me that when we're praising God, we're building him a throne. A throne to do what? To sit on. Amen? This will change your prayer life. This will cause you not to miss praise and worship. Amen? Maybe you come in at 9:45. I want to encourage you not to miss a minute of praise and worship. Because when the body of Christ comes together, I always say to you, yes, it's fine. Maybe you're driving on your way and worshiping and praising God, and you say, well, that is just enough. I will join doing when Pastor is preaching. I don't have to come the 30 minutes for praise and worship and waste my time and sing. But there is always something when the body of Christ comes together. There is something about corporate prayer. And there is when you're praying alone, it's all powerful. But there is something when the body of Christ comes together to praise and to worship the Lord. It should encourage you not to miss a minute of praise and worship. Maybe it's your wife that delays you when she's dressing up to come. Or maybe it's your kids. But you will begin to say to your wife and to your husband that let us not more miss praise and worship. I mean, you come to the church at 9:30. And this is just to rebuke you a bit, just small. You come to church at 9:30, you would find the church empty. And sometimes I feel my heart goes out to the worship leader when she's standing there and saying, good morning, church. And there's like one or two people there saying, good morning. My heart goes out to the worship leader. Amen. But you know, I'm not going to say it this way. I'm just going to encourage you that from today, that you make a choice not to miss praise and worship. Not only not to miss, but even to come early. Because when we praise him, what we're doing is we're building a throne for him to sit on. We're giving him a place of authority. We're saying, God, we're going to praise you today because we want you to have your rightful place in this service today. We want you to take your place of dominion. We want you to take your place of authority. You know, the enemy is after authority. He's after position. If the enemy can stop you today from operating or from moving in your authority that God has given you, he will displace you from your position. Did you hear me? If he stops you from operating in the authority that God has given you, he will displace you from your position. And same, the enemy hates when God is enthroned. He hates it. He hates it when the body of Christ gathers together to thank, praise, and worship God. He hates to see. He's a prideful person. He wants to sit on the throne. Amen? He wants to sit on the throne. Yes, we can invite God in, but do we enthrone him? Do we give him his rightful place to sit on? Amen? If an important person just walks in here, Let's say Pastor Isaac is the president. I don't want to use the existing president before they say Pastor Gabby is MPP or NDC. If Pastor Isaac is the president of the country, right? And he walks in here and I give him a place of honor, amen, to sit on a high chair. When you walk in here, automatically you will know that Pastor Isaac is someone powerful, amen, is someone great, is someone of high position. Amen. But if I put Pastor Isaac, the president of Ghana, sit back with somewhere at the back or somewhere upstairs, you will come in and go out without acknowledging Pastor Isaac. You will not come and shake his hand and say, "Honorable, you look good today." Amen. You wouldn't. And for that reason, Pastor Isaac will not be able to exercise the authority as the president of Ghana. When he comes in and I give him the high place, when he's going out, he will go out as the president of the country. And it's same with our Lord. We want our God to exercise authority. We want him to move and move. Then it's about time that we lift up praise and build a throne for him to sit on. To sit on. He wants to sit. Amen. When we allow God. You know, maybe you're not praising God today. Or maybe you don't have a lifestyle of praise. Now, let me say something to you. Someone else is being enthroned in your life. He that inhabiteth the praises. He sits upon the praises. If you are not praising him today, then sorry, there's someone else being enthroned in your life. But you can, I don't know if the word is dethrone or enthrone, remove him from the throne by beginning to praise God. Maybe your situation, your circumstances around you are dark. When you begin, the Bible says that he is the lifter up of our heads. When you begin to praise God and ask God to come and sit on his rightful throne, what will begin to happen is God will begin to lift up your head. You begin to look at him and you begin to look beyond your circumstances and your situation. He's the lifter up of our heads. There is no way that you can praise God with your head down. The moment you begin to praise him from your heart, your head begins to go up. It begins to go up. It's automatic. Amen. Your head begins to go up and begin to praise him. And as you praise him, he's enthroned and he begins to move on your behalf. Amen. Isaiah 61 verse 3. It says, "And provide for those who grieve in Zion to bestow on them a crown of beauty." How many of you want beauty today? Ladies, hallelujah. There's more powerful beauty than makeup and lipstick and... It says, "And provide for those who grieve in Zion to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of the spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. Praise him continuously." Hallelujah. I love this translation. This is the NIV, but I believe the King James Version would say, "And a garment of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness." Amen. I've read it many times in that translation where it doesn't say the spirit of despair. It talks about the spirit of heaviness. But did you realize what we just read here about praise? It says praise is a garment. The Lord is saying, put on a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Amen. If praise is a garment, then what are we to do? We are to put it on. If praise is a garment, are we to take it off? I believe every one of you would step out of the house by putting on his clothes. If you step out without clothes, then there is something wrong somewhere. Praise, the word Isaiah 61 is saying that it's a garment. And many times we wake up and our hearts are heavy.
We feel defeated. We feel thoughts of failure, thoughts of discouragement constantly being on our hearts. Have you ever woken up feeling that way? Amen? Discouraged. And you wonder to yourself, there is no reason for me to be discouraged. And you know, over the years, there was a season in my life, and I struggled with it for about maybe a year and a half or two. I would wake up emotional. And I kept saying to God, where is this from? I knew I was not depressed. Amen? I knew I was not struggling with depression. But anytime I will wake up, I feel emotional. And I would constantly say to my wife, I want to cry. I want to cry. And it's just everything. You know, it was a good season, by the way. Nothing bad in business, relationship, marriage was going well. Wife was looking good. Amen? No problems. But yet you wake up in the morning and there's a heaviness over your spirit. Amen. And I kept on, and you know, I would fast, I would pray, and nothing seems to change in my heart. And you know, in those seasons, you would wish for a drop of joy. Amen. You know how the rich man and Lazarus, you know, he said, just a drop. Amen, to quench that thirst. And you know, in those seasons, in those dark times in your life, you will say, God, just give me a drop of joy in my heart to take away that sadness, to take away that sorrow and that pain or that emotion. Amen. And you know, the Lord took me, one time I was praying, he took me to Isaiah 61, verse 3. And as I began to read Isaiah 61, verse 3, and I saw a garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness, I said, Lord, this is it. Lord, this is it. All that I've been struggling with is a spirit of heaviness. What happens when you begin to praise God? You will put on the garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. Amen? Maybe you've walked in here today, you're feeling depressed. Maybe you're even contemplating to commit suicide. You're struggling on the inside of you. Yes, the outside looks good, but the inside is dark. It's dark. And I've been in seasons where inside my heart is dark. And many times we find ourselves in those dark places. And many of you today, you are in a dark place today. But my encouragement to you today is begin to praise the Lord. Begin to praise the Lord. Begin to see praise as a garment. And as you begin to praise the Lord, the spirit of heaviness will be lifted up. It will be lifted up. And I remember as I began testifying to my wife. I said, as I began entering into that season of praise, I all of a sudden began realizing my emotions, the joy of the Lord began to fill my heart. And anytime I find myself going back into that season, I say to myself, you are not praising God. Amen? You are not praising God. Hallelujah. Are you here with me? All right. Isaiah 60, verse 18. It says, no longer will violence be heard in your land, nor ruin or destruction within your borders, but you will call your walls salvation and your gates, what? Praise. But you will call your walls salvation and your gates praise. Amen. This is a beautiful picture about the city of God. Amen. Is a beautiful picture which we as believers, we have the right. We have the right to access. We have the right to approach. Amen. It's a picture of the city of God and the walls that surround the presence of God is salvation. Amen. The walls that surround is what? Salvation. And in Hebrew, salvation is translated by the word Yeshua, which means what? Jesus. What are the walls that surround the presence of God? Jesus. Amen? But the gates, they have only one title. One title. And that is what? I thought you would be excited. Amen? Praise. The walls that surround the presence of God is Yeshua, is Jesus. But how do we get through? Oh yes, you've started with thanksgiving. Now you've gone past the gate. But now, how do we get through the walls into his presence? Because Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Now we want to get through Jesus into the presence of the Father. How can we do that? Through only one gate. Praise. No praise, no access. Amen. It sounded like an advert on TV. No praise, no access. Amen. Then I'll smile. Amen. No praise, no access. Praise will catapult you into his presence. It will catapult you. Amen. It will take you, pump, into his presence. Amen. You don't want to stay at the gate. We've gone past the gate. Now we're looking forward to the presence. And with worship, we will learn about worship next week. Worship is where we acknowledge his holiness. We relate to God's holiness. Amen. With thanksgiving, goodness, with praise, greatness, and with worship, we acknowledge his holiness. It will catapult you, boom, into his presence. When you get into his presence, Amen. And we should desire to move into his presence. We should not only desire to remain at the gate, because there are many Christians who are at the gate. Or many Christians are still knocking outside the gate. And those that have gone past the gate with thanksgiving, now we want to go past his courts. Begin to desire more. Because it's the hunger that will drive you. It was the hunger that will give you a zeal to enter his presence. Amen? It's one thing to be outside the church, but it's another thing to be in the church. Amen? Because his presence is where? It's here. Amen? You've heard me talk about the man at the beautiful gate. Amen? Nothing stopped that man from entering into the presence of God to receive his healing. He waited for Peter and John to come and to say to him, silver and gold we have not, but one thing we have in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. But he sat outside the gate for years. And the word of the Lord tells us that his friends will bring him. Oh, if you have friends like this, get them out of your way in 2019. The friends that always will bring you to sit at the gate, but they will not bring you into his presence. Because I believe the friends knew that there is glory on the inside, that there is healing inside the temple. But they will bring him day after day, and that they will put him at the gate to beg for money. The Bible tells us that he was blind, right? But they will put him constantly. He was blind or he was lame? Lame. Blind. He was blind. But they will bring him and put him at the gate, constantly at the gate. But it took Peter and John to minister healing in the name of Jesus before he stood up and began glorifying God. I pray that in 2019, you will go past the gate and enter into his presence. Hallelujah. Because there is no healing, there is no miracles, there is no deliverance at the gate. It's in his presence. It's in his presence that there is fullness of joy. It's in his presence that there is peace that surpasses all understanding. It's in his presence. Hallelujah. It's in his presence. Psalms 8 verse 2. It says, through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. And you know, this scripture, Jesus quoted the scripture in Matthew 21, verse 16. You can have it up on the screen, but I'm not going to read it. Where Jesus said, from the lips of children and infants, you, Lord, have called forth your praise. But listen to Psalms 8, verse 2. It says, how will we silence
the voice of the enemy. The voice that constantly comes against you to torment you, to, you know, he's the accuser of what? The brethren. He's constantly accusing you, falsely accusing you of things that are not true. And you know, the psalmist is saying, through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence. Say with me, to silence.
Silence.
To silence the foe and the avenger. How can we silence the enemy? How can we silence those voices that are constantly coming against? Remember, we studied on the power of words and the power of thoughts. Your thoughts can control you. How can we stop the enemy from controlling and dominating our minds that will control our lives? How? By praising him. It says you will silence your foe and you will silence the enemy with praise. There is power in praise, church. Amen. In Judges chapter 1, 1 to 2, are you with me?
Yes.
It says, after the death of Joshua, the Israelites asked the Lord, Who of us is to go up first to fight against the Canaanites? Amen. The Lord answered, Judah shall go up. I have given the land into their hands. You know, Judah was the tribe of what? Praise. Am I teaching the Bible today or what? All right. So Judah was the tribe of praise. Now here, the Israelites, their leader Joshua, now Moses died, Joshua now dies, and the Israelites, they're in panic mode. They're afraid. Their leader, their general, the general of the army is dead. He's gone. Now they go to seek the face of God. They begin to cry to God and ask God, Lord, how are we going to face our ruler, our general is dead. How are we going to face the Canaanites? God says to them, gather your choir and let them march first. Is that a good way to go to war? You know, the tribe of Judah was the tribe of praise. They had no weapons. They had no spears. All they had was flags. All they had was tambourines. All they had was trumpet. But you would think to yourself, when these men, the Israelites, go to seek God for counsel as to how to go to war, you would think God would say, get the strongest men that I have raised up. Let them ready their swords. Let them ready their shields. Let them ready their horses, their chariots. We're going to war. No, he said, get them those that praise. Imagine right now the church is surrounded. The church is surrounded with the enemy. Amen? And I run to Pastor Isaac. And I say to Pastor Isaac, Isaac, the church is surrounded. The enemy is everywhere. And Isaac would say to me, Pastor Gabby, get Nelly, get Senna, get Ajua, get Gideon, ready the keyboards, ready the drums. Let's begin to move and praise the Lord. Amen. That is what the Lord basically did. You're looking at the enemy and you would think God would say, let's go with guns and let's go with bullets. But God says, ready, praise. Let praise go first. Let praise go what? Let praise go first. How many of you know the story of Jabez? Jabez or Jabez. Amen. Jabez, the word, 1 Chronicles, I believe, chapter 4. Amen. The word of the Lord tells us that Jabez, his mom named him Jabez. Why? Because she bore him in pain. So what does Jabez mean? It means pain, sorrow. Amen. So imagine your name is pain. Or imagine your name is sorrow. So anytime you're in school and someone calls you pain, please come, I'm having some pain. So he was called pain. And you know, nothing much was said about Jabez. Nothing much. The word of the Lord tells, we don't know whether he was rich. We don't know whether he was poor. The Bible tells us that he was more honorable than his brothers. He was more honorable than his brothers. Amen? But you know, the Bible also tells us that he prayed
a two-line prayer. He prayed a very short prayer, asking the Lord to bless him. He says that, Lord, that you might bless me indeed, and that you might enlarge my territory. Amen? And the word of the Lord tells us that his prayer was what? Was granted. You know, as I was studying and reading this word, I said to God, like, this guy had a bad start. And many of you here today, maybe you've had a bad start. Maybe you've started off this year with pain, with sorrow, with hurts, with despair, depression. You know, but one thing we can know about Jabez is that Jabez was from the tribe of Judah. Did you hear me? Jabez was from which tribe? The tribe of Judah. The tribe of praise. I don't know about you, but I can see the heart of Jabez. Yes, he might have started off bad. Yes, he might have started from pain. Yes, he might have started from sorrow. But one thing I know about Jabez is that he had a heritage of praise. Amen? He had a heritage of praise. We are one with Christ, right? The Bible refers to Jesus as what? The Lion of Judah. The Lion of Judah. The Lion is what? Is the King of the jungle. So Jesus is the King of what? Is the King of praise. I'm here to say to someone today that you have a heritage of praise. You might have come from sorrow. You might have come from pain. Or maybe even this year has started off bad. But let me say something to you. You have a heritage of praise. You have a heritage of praise. And Jabez knew that praise was going to unlock his future. He knew that it was about time that he turned his complaint and his nagging into praise. And it's about time that you begin to turn your complaints into praise. Amen? It's about time. Look at how many times we nag and complain. What if every time we nag and we complain, we praise God? What if every time that we complain and nag, we would rather praise the Lord? Jabez knew that the key that would unlock his future was praise. And that is the key that would unlock your future. Praise. It will take you into his very presence to experience him like you've never experienced him before. 2 Chronicles 20 verse 21. And this is Jehoshaphat was surrounded by the Ammonites and the Moabites. Now listen to this. It says, after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Now here Jehoshaphat again, the army was surrounding him. Amen. Remember, we studied during the fasting period, we said that he declared a fast. They humbled themselves before God, declared a fast, began to seek the face of God as they were surrounded by the enemy. But the Lord comes up with a plan. Amen? And the plan that the Lord comes up with was that Jehoshaphat should set the team of praise to move first. Are you guys seeing the picture here? God, again here, is setting praise to move first. He's setting the praises to move first. Amen? In Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas, when they were in prison. Amen? Okay, let's go there. It says about midnight, Acts 16, 25, it says about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the other prisoners were listening to them. And you know from the word of the Lord how God brought deliverance to Paul and Silas when they were in prison, when they were in chains, praying and praising the Lord. The word of the Lord tells us that an angel of the Lord comes to set them free. Amen. I don't know if you're in chains today. Maybe today, excuse me, you have chains that are holding you down, are preventing you from progressing and moving forward. Or maybe you have walls around you. Remember remember Joshua chapter 6, when the Israelites wanted to move into Jericho. Amen. They go to seek the face of the Lord. And what did God say to them? To praise. To praise. To praise. Maybe you're seeking God for a magnificent plan against the enemy. And let me tell you the plan. Praise the Lord. Praise Him because He's mighty. Praise Him for He is great. Praise Him for He's awesome. Praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Why? Because He's worthy of praise. Don't stop praising Him. I don't know what you're looking for, but I believe as you begin to praise the Lord, you will begin to see God move on your behalf. Amen? Reasons to praise God. And I'm going to go through them very fast. What are the reasons to praise God? Because number one, He is worthy of praise. Psalms 18 verse 3, it says, I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. Revelations 5, 11 to 12, then I looked, now this is John speaking, then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they were saying, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Reason to praise God? Because He is worthy of praise. Number two is because we are called to praise. Put it down. We are called to praise. 1 Peter 2 verse 5, it says, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Amen? So we are called to praise. Amen. Not only is He worthy of praise, but we are called to praise. And praise changes, it changes us. We read from Isaiah 61 verse 3, right? The garment of praise for the spirit of heaven. So praise will change you. Amen? Put that down. Number four. And as we've studied, praise defeats the enemy. We have a devourer. Amen? The enemy, the Bible says, and I believe is in the book of Peter, that he roars around like a lion. But don't be afraid. He is not the Lion of Judah. We have a greater lion, the Lion of Praise, that is greater than that lion that roars around you. Don't be afraid. Amen? Praise would help you defeat the enemy. It says in Psalms 49, 5 to 6, let His faithful people rejoice in His honor and sing for joy for on their beds. May the praise of God be on their mouths and a double-edged sword in their hands. So you see how you face the enemy? The sword, the word of God in your hand, and what on your lips? Praise. Praise. How do we praise God? With your voice. Amen? Psalm 63, verse 3. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. So how can we praise God? With our lips. Let's stop chopping the chicken and the fufu and the yam and begin to use our lips properly in praising God. Amen? Use our voice, sorry. And in, number two, with your body. How do we praise God? With our bodies. Listen to Psalm 63 verse 4. It says, I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. Psalms 95, 6 to 7, it says, come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker. Amen? So we can worship Him with our voice. We can worship Him. We can praise Him with our body. Amen? And number three, we worship Him, we praise Him with music. Psalms 150, we read from 3 to 5. Amen? In the beginning, remember? So you can praise Him with music, with the harp. What we do here in the worship, it's praising God. Amen? Number four, with your emotions. You can praise God with your emotions. Psalm 4, verse 1, it says, "Answer me when I call to you, my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer." Amen? You can praise Him with what? With your emotions. And number, the last one, my favorite, with your life. You can praise Him with your life. Praise should be your lifestyle. 1 Corinthians 30, verse 31. I'll ask the worship team to please come up. 1 Corinthians 30, verse 31. It says, "So whether you eat or drink, whatever you do," say with me, "whatever you do, do it all for the glory of the Lord." Amen? Do it all for the glory of the Lord.